Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We've got Call Your Shot Friday coming up later this hour at 7:45. We'll take your called shots on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans with him, get into this Aaron Rodgers saga as well. Terry Crisp at 8:30. Jamie Watson, Nashville SC TV analyst, coming your way at 9 o'clock. And then weekend winners at 9:30. This is the first time, Joe, maybe in all season long, I'm looking forward to weekend winners. I actually had a good week last week.
See, here we go.
4-2 with my lock.
Coming on back.
Coming back strong here in the competition. So that coming up at 9:30 here on the show. Joe, obviously, we've spent a lot of time since the NFL draft talking about Aaron Rodgers and what his future is going to look like, either with the Green Bay Packers or what's looking more and more likely somewhere else besides the Green Bay Packers. And even yesterday, throughout the possibility of the Titans with the article that Bill Barnwell came out with and the trade proposal that he had with Aaron Rodgers landing to the Titans, to Ryan Tannehill back to Green Bay in exchange for a couple of first-round picks as well that the Titans would have to send the Packers away. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's very unlikely that the Titans would be a destination, almost to the point of 0% that it would be a destination for the Tennessee Titans and for Aaron Rodgers. But some interesting stuff coming out yesterday regarding the original report of Aaron Rodgers and his feud with the Green Bay Packers. As we know, leading up to the first round of the NFL draft, Adam Schefter kind of dropped this bombshell, and that was the large point of discussion heading into the NFL draft. And Adam Schefter was on, I believe it was with Dan Patrick, discussing this and what it was like leading up to this process and how he came across this information and this report. Here's what Adam Schefter from ESPN had to say.
You know, Dan, the funny part about it is that I've heard people say, oh, Aaron Rodgers wanted that out before the draft. Mm-hmm. I can assure you Aaron Rodgers did not want that out before the draft. I've had people say the Green Bay Packers planted that. It was a very pro-Packer story.
Yeah.
I can assure you the Green Bay Packers didn't plant that. When people guess at where stories come from, more often than not, they're usually wrong. And in this case, they're wrong. This was an accumulation all during the offseason of just listening to people talk and observing. And if we go back to the NFC Championship game that the Green Bay Packers lost at home, did we not hear Aaron Rodgers after that game talk about his level of unhappiness, if you will, uncertainty for the future? Just go back and listen to that press conference, and it sounds almost like he's saying goodbye to Green Bay. And so your antenna's up, and I'm just telling you, throughout the course of the offseason, there was rarely a week that went by where I didn't hear something about Aaron Rodgers. And on draft day, there's a report that morning from Paul Allen out in Minneapolis that the 49ers made a draft offer, which they didn't make an offer. They never made an offer. And other people are saying that the 49ers called. And I said, how long till it gets out that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay? Is it next week? Is it next when he doesn't show to the OTAs? Is it next month when he isn't? It's going to come out. What does it matter if it comes out now or next week or next month? And so.
So you chose to break the news on draft day.
That is absolutely accurate. Correct.
But it wasn't something that you got information about.
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, and there was nothing that morning that came in and okay. All of a sudden said to me, yeah, he wants out. You should report this. Like, it was going on all off season. You just keep hearing. And there was more and more talk. And now they're starting to be Aaron Rodgers talking. I said, you know what? This isn't going to wait much longer. Let's just go. It just happened to be drafted.
So that was comments made by Adam Schefter from ESPN on Dan Patrick's show. Joe, what do you think of those comments? Schefter basically saying there, this had been an accumulation of information all off season and reading reports and hearing some conversations and kind of reading the tea leaves of what's going on in Green Bay, and that draft day, he just decided to go with it because he said this is not going to stay under wraps much longer. What do you think of what Adam Schefter had to say there on with Dan Patrick?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is when I saw this yesterday, I saw a ton of reaction, which was, and largely from Packers fans, oh, so you made it up, huh? And so
they're very level-headed. Like,
yeah. So I'm, you know, you and Packer, the rest of Packer Nation, is that what it's called? Is it Packer Nation?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, you know, some teams have different kind of, you know.
Packer Nation's fine.
Packer Nation's cool with you.
Okay. Pack Nation.
Pack Nation, is that right?
Cheesehead, that sounds better.
Cheesehead Nation. I mean, I don't know. Cheesehead Brigade.
Let's go with Packer Nation.
Cheesehead Brigade. I like that.
Yeah. That's not bad.
So, obviously, that's an overreaction. But, like, first of all, I love Chevrolet. Like, I just thought maybe, I don't know, for whatever reason, that day. Yeah. The day when, you know, everyone's
watching me on TV.
Yeah, looking at the NFL.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I think that's strategy. And also, his tweet did say, sources said Thursday. So, like, the tweet about it was at least inaccurately framed.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like he didn't have sources telling him this. It's not like the reporting isn't accurate, and it's not like we haven't heard from a whole bunch of other people about this. I know that I know for a fact that some people who cover that team were really upset with Aaron Rodgers because it was like, and there was some back and forth to the extent of like, why?
Yeah.
Why today? So I guess, you know, that was one of my reactions was like, so Aaron Rodgers is trying to co-opt draft day. So I owe him an apology for that. It was just that Schefter decided he was going to drop the bomb that day.
So is he more likable now in your book that you know that it wasn't him responsible for this information?
Yeah, bring him to Nashville.
Okay, I'm just checking.
The red flags are all cleared.
Fourth, what do you think of this that Schefter's thrown out there? I believe before the show you called it a little fishy. What do you mean by that?
Well, so some of the reports that have stemmed from this report from Schefter are that the Packers are now scrambling to find veteran quarterbacks. But when you listen to Schefter talk, he's like, oh, well, this is something that's just been accumulating all offseason, and I just decided it and just so happened to be draft day that I put it out there. And if the Packers knew this all offseason, why wouldn't they have been trying to get a veteran quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is actually done in Green Bay?
I think like, this is jarring to them, too, in my opinion.
So you think Schefter's report was a surprise to them?
I think maybe the extent of it. I mean, right, like, of course they knew they've had issues with him. I'm sure Gutekunst knows that when he's not returning his texts, you know. But, like, for example, our guy Bob McGinn had the report. Did you see this the other day?
Oh, yeah.
The,
Jerry Krause?
Yeah, the Schefter or the Rodgers text thing with teammates calling him Jerry Krause. I mean, stuff like that. I'm sure the team didn't know how much trash he's talking about the GM behind his back, right? So I'm sure they knew that it was an issue. But, like, if you're the team and this comes out, I know that Schefter said, well, this isn't from the – I mean, Schefter's like, it's not from the camp. It's not from – you know, it's not from the Packers. Okay, so who the heck is it from?
Right.
I mean, if you're the team this comes out, then you have
Shailene to – Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, but – well, I mean, but you have to think, oh, so Rodgers wants this out there.
Yeah.
And I still think there's an element of that. Whether it wasn't that day, fine. But at some point, he's like, yeah, go. You can go with it. Or his camp said that. So to your – I hear what you're saying, but I'll bet you that the Packers didn't know how dire it was until all this stuff came out.
Well, if they didn't, it's their own fault. I mean, I've been talking about this for a year. I mean, this is very easy to see coming. I don't know how they couldn't have seen this coming after some of the decisions that they made. Look, I don't really like the way Schefter handled this based on what he said there with Dan Patrick. That doesn't sound like the way to go about doing this. It's also pretty obvious at this point that it's all true. Like, if this was just a bunch of crap, Aaron Rodgers would have said something.
Exactly.
By now. Like, he's not letting all this sit out there.
He's allowed to talk.
Yeah, I mean, he would have said something by now. I think there's pretty clearly some frustration. And look, there's been some more follow-up reporting. I mean, Thursday night, the night of the first round of the draft, I mean, the Packers basically admitted it. They were like, you know, yeah, our relationship needs some work right now. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious they're in a bad spot. It is interesting hearing Schefter's comments on that, on the way he went about handling it, because it doesn't sound like anybody said anything to him on the day of the draft, and that's just when he decided to go with this. Again, I'm not saying the report's wrong, because it's obviously not, but it was the interesting timing there from Adam Schefter.
Yeah, and I can't think of too many. I'm sure there are other situations, but typically the Schefters, Rappaports of the world, the Woges and Shamses, you know, typically they pretty much react in real time to stuff, and they're trying to beat each other. It's interesting that he made the point, I figured this is going to come out, you know, soon enough. Usually if you get something where it's like, okay, this is real, and this is a top source saying it, you're rushing to it, and you're assuming Rappaport's getting the same thing, and they compete with each other in a matter of seconds.
Yeah, you know? And it's
so this is a little bit more of a read, like you said, reading tea leaves, accumulation of things. And yes, he did it on draft day to get the most bang for the buck on the report.
And I do wonder, like, where the information comes from, because I mean, I don't know what to believe with Aaron Rodgers. Like I said this yesterday, he's very, very concerned about what his public image is, and he was at the Kentucky Derby, and NBC Sports tried to interview him, and he didn't want any part of it, said he was disappointed that this came out with the Packers. Is he really disappointed, or was he just saying that? I don't know. I mean, A.J. Hawk is one of his best friends, and A.J. Hawk goes on the Pat McAfee show every day, and A.J. Hawk wants nothing to do with this conversation around Aaron Rodgers. So I don't know. Like, if he really wants stuff out there, there's an outlet right there that you would think would be all over this with A.J. Hawk, especially considering Aaron Rodgers is on the show all the time. So I don't know what he wants out and what he doesn't, but if the report had anything that wasn't true in there, I think you would have probably heard from Aaron Rodgers by now.
Well, it actually now makes more sense on that front to me, because initially with all that, I was like, come on, you put this out there Thursday. Okay, yeah. Well, then so he actually, I'm sure, was annoyed, like, why today? Why right now?
Yeah.
I mean, does it help Aaron Rodgers for all this to be out there? I mean, it makes them look worse.
Yeah.
Right? So, but
I don't know if it hurts him or helps him either way.
I don't think it really matters.
It's annoying probably at this point, because there's nothing that's what I've said from the start. Like, nothing's going to happen until at least after June 1st. Like, it would be a $38 million cap hit for the Packers. Nothing's happening until then. So all this, like, even the day of, all this draft day discussion, like, are they about to trade Aaron Rodgers to Denver on the first round of the draft? No, they're not, unless they're really stupid at their jobs, because it's a $38 million cap hit. So nothing's going to happen until after June 1st. That's probably the annoying thing is, and John Clayton talked about this a little bit yesterday too, it's probably going to be like into the season before you see anything resolved, because I doubt very seriously Green Bay is just throwing their hands up right now and saying, all right, I guess there's no way we can fix this. We'll just go in and it's Jordan Love's time.
Right.
Which makes this even more frustrating. But, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, because they could certainly say, okay, you want to eat 30 mil? Okay. But then again, he probably can and be okay, right?
I mean, he'd be fine.
What's Jeopardy paying?
He'd be pretty fine. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a prize pack. The next chance to participate is Monday morning at 8:45. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on Aaron Rodgers, including some interesting thoughts yesterday from John Clayton on where Rodgers could end up and when that could happen. We'll talk about it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This hour of Robbie and Rex Road is brought to you by Trane. Get a great deal this spring on a new Trane heating and cooling system. At Trane, they test so it runs. Visit traneinfo.com to find your local dealer and learn more. It's hard to stop a Trane.
Celebrate mom this Mother's Day with a gift of a 1.5-hour picnic-themed style photo shoot with Mackenzie Lee Photography at Centennial Park. Picnic setup, sips, and snacks will be included. Not only will you get to enjoy a fun and beautiful park picnic with your family, but you'll also receive 60-plus digital photos to remember it. Go to the Game Nashville contest page and enter to win today. Mother's Day coming up on Sunday, so looking forward to that. Go to the Game Nashville contest page and enter to win that today. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, on Twitch as well. Discussing Aaron Rodgers and the reporting from Adam Schefter as well. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, there's a possibility that the Packers GM wanted Schefter to wait until draft day to see what teams would offer the GM when the pressure was on. I don't know. I mean, it seems to me, if you believe what the Packers are saying, they have no desire whatsoever to trade Aaron Rodgers. Now, that may ultimately change, and their hand may get forced at the end of this when it comes to what happens and whether or not Rodgers decides to show up at any point with the Green Bay Packers and play football. He's made it clear, apparently, that he's not going to show up and that he's not going to play with Green Bay. So that may change, but I don't think that this came from the Packers or Brian Gutekunst or anything like that. Like, it seems to me they are, at this point, even though it may be too late, trying to do everything they can possibly do to try to keep him in the fold.
I mean, to me, isn't it disingenuous to say there is no chance we would trade this guy when you basically set it up to be done with him pretty soon here?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, come on. And then it's like, oh, crap, he's really good. We forgot. We didn't realize he's this good. That's all. I mean, to me, that's all. It's just like the Texans before the stuff happened with Deshaun Watson. Like, no, we are not. You know, you're just throwing that out there publicly. Try to have as much leverage as you can have, but it may just have to happen this way. Another interesting thing about this, Robbie, yesterday that I found is that there's like a lot of, I think, Titans fans, but even like some media who were just like, oh, no way,
yeah,
on the idea. Now, again,
which just is mind-boggling to me.
Like I don't think that it's realistic, just like you said.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Bill Barnwell putting stuff out. First of all, if you're upset that we're having these off-season discussions about some fantasy trade, come on. I mean, you know, I mean, it's an interesting conversation, and it's not like zero chance. I mean, there's somebody I think that's probably going to have him that doesn't have him now. I agree. Like, I don't think that he's coming here, but it's interesting. Like, so I'm reading, like, Gentry Estes has a column, you know, making the case for Tannehill, which, again, you could call it Tannehill disrespect, and that's kind of how he frames it. I have a lot of respect for Tannehill. I think the Titans have a great situation at quarterback. I also –
we're literally talking about the league MVP and one of the five best quarterbacks to ever play the game.
And to me, there is a difference from a year ago. And the difference is, I mean, honestly, I saw Tom Brady's last game with the Patriots live from the press box, and I thought he was done. So, I mean, good for him for kind of being rejuvenated in Tampa Bay. But the talent level physically at this point is different with Aaron Rodgers than it is with Tom Brady. I'm sorry. It just is. And I think Aaron Rodgers comes in, you're talking about still right now as elite a passer right up there in the top two or three in the league of elite throwers of the football. And, I mean, he's younger, too. He's younger than Brady. So that's where the difference is for me. So I would say yes. But, yeah, there's a lot of backlash to that whole idea here.
I mean, it has been interesting. Again, it's not going to happen. But there are Titans fans that when you hear this discussion, even if it was a possibility, they would be like, no, we'll just keep Tannehill. That to me is amazing. And some people pointed out, you know, giving up two first-round picks is too much in terms of the currency that Bill Barnwell threw out there. I think that's ridiculous. To get Aaron Rodgers, it's not too much to go get Aaron Rodgers if he makes your team that much better immediately. Again, I don't think it's going to happen. But I was kind of blown away yesterday with some of the responses on this show. You mentioned the article that Gentry Estes from the Tennessean put out there as well. I saw it all over the place on social media about how many Titans fans are just like, nope, I don't want Aaron Rodgers. Don't want that guy. It's just amazing to me.
No, I agree. I mean, so, like, again, Gentry, I always like Gentry's columns. I mean, he points out here, like, you know, no other quarterback in the NFL is so thoroughly underrated, talking about Tannehill, and I would agree with that. He also says that all the Green Bay stuff reflects terribly on Rodgers. Now, again, I think, you know, he has a hand in this, but I've never been a huge Rodgers fan.
Quite frankly, that's people that don't watch Green Bay that – They can't see this coming. This is about 2% on Rodgers. It's about 98% on the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to take his side on this. You know, like you are right there, and you have a chance get a player who makes a difference for your team, and that might be the player that puts you over the top, and you draft his replacement.
Yeah, and trade up to do it. And it's not just that. I mean, there's been all sorts of decisions that have been made that have led to this. I mean, this is 100% on the Green Bay Packers. So it's just been interesting to me to see what the reaction has looked like from Titans fans. But it does seem like at some point, with the way this has been trending, Aaron Rodgers is going to end up somewhere else besides Green Bay. And John Clayton was on with Darren Donick and Chase yesterday to discuss that. What's it going to look like for Aaron Rodgers? When could a trade happen, and where could he end up? Here's what John Clayton had to say.
How for real is it, John? Do you think, honestly, he gets moved this offseason?
Not offseason, no. I think it's going to be more during the season, because you go back to Carson Palmer, they didn't move him to the middle of October. And so what happened was that the Raiders lose their starting quarterback, and now they have an opening. But when you look at it right now, you only have really two teams that would be in the mix to do something, because obviously, you know, we can talk about Bill Barnwell saying that Tennessee would be in the mix, but they do have Ryan Tannehill, and can they take the cap hit to be able to move that and then be able to take the draft choice hit? But I think it's Denver and Washington. More likely Denver, because with the no-trade clause he has in his contract, you know, he probably wants to pick the team he goes to. I know his fiancée is in Boulder, Colorado, so I think in the end, if it's going to be a trade, it'll be a trade in October, and then he can go to the Denver Broncos.
So that was John Clayton discussing what could happen with Aaron Rodgers, saying maybe it's October before a trade gets executed. Kind of going back to the Carson Palmer situation, Rodgers and Palmer had the same agent, David Dunn, in the mix here. Could it be October? And the Denver Broncos seem to be a very popular destination for Aaron Rodgers in this whole discussion. It's out west. His fiance at the moment has a house in Boulder, Colorado, and it just makes sense in terms of the Broncos really don't have any answer at quarterback right now. They've got the room to do it, and apparently people, veteran quarterbacks like John Elway, like going out there. So that does seem to be, I guess, the most likely destination if a trade were to occur.
Yeah, Elway can't evaluate young quarterbacks, but he's able to bring in guys that everyone knows are really good. So maybe this could be just another example of Denver rallying up with a Hall of Famer late in his career.
I'm interested to see. I mean, Clayton threw out October as kind of a timetable there for a midseason type trade. I'm interested to see if it goes on that long. Also, like, I mean, there have been discussions of if it doesn't get resolved in Green Bay that Aaron Rodgers will just retire and just retire that way and I guess come back at some point. I mean, didn't Carson Palmer technically retire during this whole thing?
I think that's right. Yeah. Yep. And then he resurfaces.
Yeah. But then when he resurfaced, he was still a property of the Bengals.
Right.
And that's when the Bengals traded him to the Raiders.
Right. Like, there's been this idea that Rodgers is just going to retire and go host Jeopardy full time. I don't necessarily buy that. Like, I think he still wants to play football, and he wants to be a quarterback somewhere. And I think
you would hope so.
If he wanted to, I mean, he could probably do both. I mean, everybody just assumes that he's going to get the Jeopardy job. He did a good job. I don't know that he's going to be, like, their first choice as a full-time Jeopardy host in all this either. He's fine. But I don't know if the Jeopardy people are like, yep, all right, Aaron Rodgers, he's our guy.
Yeah, I don't know either. He seems fine. You got the built-in fame there, but maybe there could be a better host. I don't know. The whole Jeopardy angle is a whole other story. Did not anticipate
that being a part of this discussion when we got to this point.
So real quick, I'm picking on Gentry a little bit. So Gentry says, you know, the Titans are lucky they have a quarterback who's really good, and no drama accompanying him. Why would they mortgage their future to create some? Would you be creating drama? I mean, you'd be creating the biggest story in the league by bringing Aaron Rodgers here. You'd have a total sideshow.
Yeah.
But is Rodgers coming in here and all of a sudden he's just going to be like, you know, middle finger up to management and teammates and stuff?
No, I mean, he's a very popular teammate.
The answer is why would you do it? Because you think you're winning the Super Bowl with him. That's the reason.
Yeah, I mean, look, no disrespect to Ryan Tannehill. It's not even really all that close. It's a clear upgrade with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is very good. Aaron Rodgers is great. He is a great quarterback.
Like, still, Tannehill doesn't deserve to be in the tier three like we have him at the Athletic. That's stupid. And that means some GMs in this league are dumb, or at least they just don't, you know, they don't watch everybody or whatever. They're being lazy with their evaluation. But the tier one is like Mahomes, Rodgers. It's not Brady.
No. It's like Mahomes and Rodgers. They're like on a tier by themselves.
I mean, Watson.
Yeah.
Wilson. Are they in there too, I guess? Maybe?
Maybe. I mean, I would still probably put it Mahomes and Rodgers.
But Tannehill is tier two, and he's very good, and they should be thrilled with their quarterback. But there's still a difference. And if that gets you to win a Super Bowl, yeah, mortgage your future.
When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Get into the Rashad Weaver situation as well with a new wrinkle to it. That coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The Game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth there with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Discussing the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. By the way, call your shot Friday coming up at 745 as well. So we need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Joe, we've talked about the Rashad Weaver situation that came to light earlier this week and the alleged incident that took place in Pittsburgh, he being charged with one count of simple assault. And we've talked about, you know, what should the Titans have known? What did they know? What did they not know? Did other teams around the league know this about Rashad Weaver? And that's why he fell as far as he did in the draft. You've had some discussions with people over the last few days regarding this incident. What have you found out? What's come to light in these discussions?
Right as you asked me, I'm like so close to sneezing. So I may have to mute myself here any minute.
It's okay.
Yeah, so, you know, the Weaver thing has been interesting this week, obviously. And we've talked on the show about Paul Kuharsky and his at paulkuharsky.com and his reporting. I mean, I think he's the first person to put out there that other teams had some kind of knowledge of this. He said he talked to scouts from three different teams. At some point, I think we're going to hear from the Titans. I mean, to me, one of the obvious things you do as a team in a situation like this is try to find out what your peers knew. I mean, you know, most of these people are friends with each other. I mean, there are people who have friends in every organization. I mean, this is that's one thing that I think you do if you're the Titans. Try to figure out like what others knew, how they knew, what. Could we have done? Is it just purely just a terrible break and you chalk it up to that? Do you make any staff adjustments? All that stuff. But so for me, through media, a couple different media people, I've gotten information that there were some teams or at least a couple teams that had some knowledge, you know, of an issue with Weaver. Now, are these the same teams that Kuharsky have? I don't know. So I'm not saying like that. I'm not saying add it to like make it five, maybe the same, you know, two of the same three teams. But again, to the whole point of that, I understand. And I know there was like some screaming in the town, media screaming at each other. We probably don't do enough of that. We should
scream a little more.
You scream at each other a little more. Like I agree with anyone who says, well, anonymous source. Scout, there's misinformation around the draft for sure, but tell me what the incentive is, one, to lie about this after the fact. Doesn't help you at all. I mean, if you absolutely hate John Robinson or hate the Titans, if you're like Chris Ballard, you know, or something, you know, you want to make them look bad. Yeah, I don't know. That's possible, but you got to keep in mind that, especially reporters who. And I'm talking about this on my end, too, and Kuharsky fits this bill. Reporters who have covered this league for decades, I mean, they're not taking stuff from people who might be lying to them on a whim.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's what years and decades of source building yields. So it's really unrealistic. And to me, it's almost tinfoil hat territory to think that people are just lying about this. All that said as well, I mean, I think that it's just it's a bad timing for the Titans. I don't know exactly what the answer is. You probably aren't going to have another situation like this. But when you have what happened last year, even though it's nothing like this situation, it just raises the stakes on covering every base with every possible player on your board. And so I'd love to know what the adjustment will be for the Titans. And I'm not saying necessarily a personnel adjustment, but a process adjustment.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, I think that's going to be something that you're going to have to address at some point if you're the Titans. And I also wonder, like, you know, what happens from here? Like, I was on with Darren Donick and Chase the other day, and they – ask me, you know, what percentage would I give, you know, Rashad Weaver being on the roster this year when it comes around? I mean, we'll have to wait and see, obviously, what plays out with this situation legally here. I mean, I put the percentage at like 70%. Like, I think there's a good chance that it'll work through this and that he'll be here. But I don't know. Like, maybe this is something where you're talking about another pick that never really even sees the field for you. Like, I don't know how this is going to play out. I would find that to be surprising. But what would you say to that? Like, do you think there are chances that he may not play for the Titans?
A chance, but I think I might go higher than 70. You know, one interesting question here, and I don't know the answer, but is there any video footage of the situation? And I think that could really play a role here in how this goes. But based on the police report, well, first of all, you have witness saying punch. You have alleged victim saying push and then hit head. I mean, this reads like it's probably going to be a plea bargain, like most things are, and which is technically an admission of guilt. But if there's no new information on this, I mean, I think when you come out of this, the comment that was in the police report is going to be the thing that really prevails here and something he's going to have to answer for. But if I had to guess, I think I'd go above 70. I think I'd probably go about 80.
Yeah. But, I mean, like you said, I mean, there are a lot of different factors that could change that one way or the other, but I would agree it's probably somewhere in that percentage. It is interesting because I have seen, you know, some reaction on Twitter to Paul Kaharsky's report, to what's been thrown out there of, this is just like the Jaguars or the Colts lying to you about, you know, the Titans and saying they knew about it when they really didn't, just to try to make the Titans look bad. Like, I guess I understand why fans might think that way, but there's no real incentive for a Indy or a Jacksonville or anybody to do that. It's not like you're in a college recruiting battle here. Like, where you're on the recruiting trail and you're trying to you know, negatively recruit against somebody.
Yeah,
it's a little different in the NFL.
That's a great point. That's a very different world. I mean, that in that world, it is constant negative recruiting and it has hurt them however you can hurt them. I mean, this is the pros. And again, it's also not like it's like from the top, okay, what are we saying, you know, anonymously, so there's no accountability. But what are we saying as a team? This is like a scout. This is a person in an organization
who someone
in media knows well and gives them the lowdown. What is that particular scout's incentive for, I really want to make the Titans look bad? I mean, I suppose if it was like one, you could say one person with an axe to grind is going to be willing to lie to a reporter who they've known for a long, long time and have shared information back and forth with that reporter, I suppose.
Yeah.
But even that's going out on a limb. That's not very realistic.
In terms of the media in this town yelling at each other more, we should do it a little bit more. My mother was legitimately concerned yesterday after I called your take on Tom Wilson's hit asinine. She was like, how did Joe respond to that? Was he mad? I was like, no, he's okay. It was all right.
Does your mom not know that you could kick the crap out of me?
No, I couldn't.
Oh, you don't think you beat me up?
We'll see. I don't know.
We'll see.
I would take Robbie.
Oh, yeah. I'd take Robbie.
He'd be minus 400 on the sports book.
I don't know if he'd be that heavy.
I do fight dirty, though.
Hey, so that's all you got to do.
Be warned.
That's right. That doesn't sound great. When we come back, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025 on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game.
The sports weekend has arrived. You know what that means.
Shoot your shot.
It's time for Call Your Shot Friday with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 1025 The Game and The Game Nashville app.
It is time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Port. The reflexes are strong here to begin the segment here on the program. We need your takes, your thoughts, your bold predictions in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It could be with the Titans. It could be with the Predators over the weekend, Nashville SC Aaron Rodgers, everything on the table in the world of sports on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrow, do we have the results from last week, or have we had a technical malfunction?
I don't know what happened last week. So, I mean, I guess like with this file, I typed in the call your shots. I typed in the weekend winners. And maybe when I close the file, I hit don't save.
Ooh.
Because I got nothing. I got nothing.
I got my two from last week. I said Philip Forsberg would return and have at least 1 point. That was half right. He returned. He did not
so
have
you get,
1 point.
So you got half a point.
Got half a point on that one. I also said Josh Palmer would be selected in the third round, which I believe he was.
You didn't say by a team? You just said third
no,
round?
I just said third round.
That's good. Yeah. You remember yours?
Team was too difficult.
I had one of the Moores being drafted by the Titans, either Rondale or Elijah.
It's a tough one.
Missed that. But I did say that Preg Stars was going to overtime.
Yeah, he did get that one.
Okay. You guys remember mine?
No. Do you remember yours?
Not at all. That's why I write things down.
Dig up last week's weekend winners and then compute the win-loss?
Well, we have figured ours out. We need you to figure yours out honestly. We both went 4-2 with our lock.
Yeah.
I don't think you did as well.
No, I wasn't as good last week. But I can't remember my picks last week.
You might have to dig it up.
What are we doing?
That's why we have audio record of everything. Right?
That's right. We got to go back and figure it out.
You're not busy, are you? Come on.
That's right. So let's start.
We're a bunch of idiots.
Yes, that's for sure. Let's start this edition of Call Your Shot Friday with what we always do. Ryan Porth leads us off on Call Your Shot Friday. Porth, your called shots for the week.
All right. Let's start with some soccer action tomorrow. Nashville SC has started the season with 3 straight draws. They are 0-0-3.
They are.
And they are going to be 1-0-3.
Okay.
After tomorrow.
It's taking on New England tomorrow.
The Revolution.
Yes.
So they will revolutionize the win column with 3 points.
Very
tomorrow.
Nicely done.
So calling the shot that they win. Also, the Preds are going to beat Carolina in one of these two games by 2 goals or more.
Oh, a multi-goal win for the National Predators.
They're
going
to spank the Canes in one of these two games.
Okay, I like that.
And then Aaron Rodgers will be under center for the Green Bay Packers in week one.
Really? Look, I hope you're right. It doesn't look great right now. That is what I would classify as a called shot right now. It's in that territory.
That's a called shot for sure.
Yes, it is. Is that it?
That's it.
Wow. 3. Ryan Porth taking the light route this week. I like that. Joe Rexrode, your called shots for the week.
Okay. First of all, I'm going to go with the Titans will end up with a new TE1. His name will be Zach Ertz.
Zach Ertz with the Titans.
Zach Ertz.
So when does this happen? Just before the season, what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
That's my training camp call.
Okay. I like that.
Make sure you save that document for, yes, you know, 3 months from now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you guys are going to remember this, right?
Yes.
I count on you to remember things. Is this really a called shot? I think it's the most likely thing, and it may be yours too, but since you let me go first.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers will be a Denver Bronco to close his career, and he will win a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. God. So that's a double shot.
Okay? That's going to make me very sad.
From Starbucks?
Sure. We like caffeine on this show.
We do.
And the Nashville Predators will need to win or need to get points against Carolina, because Dallas is going to get a point tonight,
okay,
and lose in overtime. The Preds are going to win the playoffs. The Preds are going to get into the playoffs.
They're
going to
win the cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a shot. Going to get into the playoffs by virtue of a late goal from Philip Forsberg to force overtime. They will lose in overtime Saturday, but that late goal to force overtime will make them a playoff team.
Okay.
That will be the point.
All right. I will start.
Very specific.
The Nashville Predators will clinch a playoff berth tonight. Tonight, the Nashville Predators will be in the playoffs. Tampa Bay will beat Dallas in regulation, and the game tomorrow against Carolina, essentially for the Predators at that point, means nothing. However, Pecorine will start in goal tomorrow. After this happens for the Predators, he will be the starter in net tomorrow for the Predators against Carolina, and he has a shutout against the Hurricanes.
Wow.
It's going to be a storybook ending to the season for Pecorine. He will shut out the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Predators will win the game on Saturday night too. So not only do you get the help you need tonight, I think the Predators, with Pekka, beat Carolina tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. What do you think about that?
Well, it's a good shot, but is that it's just a storybook ending to the season?
I think that is the last time Pecorine plays at Bridgestone Arena.
Okay, there you go. So the shot is, that's like a triple shot.
You just left the door open for him to only play road games.
Well, that is true. I did do that. I just said Bridgestone Arena. That is the last time we see Pecorine play. Let's put it that way. Because I think if he starts Saturday, you can't just leave Saros off that long, right? Like, you've got to put Saros back in there on Monday. Would be my guess. They're not leaving him off for a week and a half.
Oh, I would definitely think so.
So I think Pekka starts tomorrow.
Well, it wouldn't be a week and a half. It'd probably just be a week.
That's still too long, though, isn't it?
Mm.
Well, when are they going to start?
Friday or Saturday, right?
Probably Saturday or Sunday.
So he played Wednesday. So it'd be a week and a half if he doesn't play Monday or Saturday.
That's true.
Well, I'm under the assumption that he would, if Pekka plays Monday, then Saros plays tomorrow night no matter what.
Well, I'm saying Pekka plays Saturday tomorrow night. So if you don't, I'm saying you have to play Saros Monday because they're not having Pekka play both of the next two.
Yeah.
Let's hop on that bike,
Ryan Porter. Let's all agree.
So that is our edition of Call Your Shot Friday. Let's go to our text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Josh on the text line says, my called shot, Dallas loses in regulation tonight. Juice starts tomorrow. Pekka shuts out Carolina on Monday at home to end his career. So a slightly different variation from Josh. He says, Saros tomorrow, Pekka on Monday, and Pekka gets the shutout on Monday.
I love the Hollywood. I love the Hollywood endings that people are calling. Like, what if Pekka, has that game and he gives up six goals?
I don't know. Does he have to come
back? I mean, he still gets a standing O, right?
Yeah. I mean, does he have to come back and play next year? That's the last one.
That means he's not retiring.
And he's like, all right, I can't go out that way.
Yeah.
Could be. I don't know. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff texting in. Two doozies here. So let's do these one at a time. Number one from Jeff. I don't know when the called shot Friday is. It's right now. But Mahomes will not come back from that turf toe. He will never be the same. They will never make it past the divisional round again with Patrick Mahomes.
Yikes.
What do you think of that?
Won't come back from turf toe?
That's what Jeff said.
That's a shot. I hope he's wrong.
Well, that's what he was playing with in the Super Bowl. He still looked pretty good.
Yeah. He's making like underhanded ropes
while going floating down through the air. Yeah. That's a shot. Look, that's what we encourage here on Call Your Shot Friday. I like that.
It's a very morbid one, though.
The second one from Jeff is Rodgers to the Steelers for the next two first rounders and a second rounder next year and David Putney. So Jeff has got Aaron Rodgers ending up on the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm.
What do you think of that?
Hadn't heard much about that, but
that'd be something.
Again, Roethlisberger is kind of more in the – well, what I thought about Brady, Rivers, the camp of, okay, you can clearly see the wear and tear of the years,
Brady's aging backwards. So
all of a sudden, yes. But Rodgers is, that'd be a big upgrade.
Let's go back to the text line. Kyle on the text line says, my called shot is that the Preds will win both games against Carolina. So Kyle predicting back-to-back wins for the Predators against Carolina. So going from 0-5-1 to 2-5-1 immediately. I like it.
They'll be the favorite in the series. Hey. All of a sudden, two-game winning streak.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texting in, Dallas wins, Nashville loses and wins on Monday. Saros plays out the rest of the season here, and Pekka retires. So Caleb's saying, we're not going to see Pecorine because Dallas is going to stay alive. Nashville loses on Saturday, forcing a game they've got to win on Monday. They do it. Saros plays all the games, and Pekka retires after the season. So Caleb, under the mindset, we've already seen Pecorine play his last game.
Which would have been which game?
I think Tampa. The shutout loss to Tampa.
The Saturday night, like 3 weeks ago?
I think so.
The 2-0 where Vasilevsky was just
I think that's the last time he's been in there.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That sounds right.
I think you're right.
Wow.
Don't rule out, too, if they get in. Certainly, you could see him then, too. I mean, we've seen Saros in a few games. I mean, on the Stanley Cup final run, we saw Saros a couple times.
Yeah.
At least a couple times, right?
And in 18.
And in 18.
And so. Maybe in 19. Was Pekka pulled in one of those Stars games?
No, I don't think so. No.
I think he was pulled in game 4.
Maybe.
When the Stars scored like 4 goals in the first 10 minutes.
Really?
Maybe. I don't know. I remember the last game. When he put a team on his back that couldn't create an offensive chance to save its life.
Yes, there was that. We'll see what happens with Pekka-Rinne. Starting tonight, I think it's going to have a big influence on how this weekend goes. If the Preds are in before they even play tomorrow, probably influences some of the thinking as they move forward here. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.